The budget agreement reached last Friday night is not a final one for 2011 fiscal year, which runs through the end of September. It only funds the government through this Thursday at 11:59 p.m. Congress still needs to pass the final deal. And with sentiment growing against the compromise, will this lead to yet another shutdown or showdown with uncertainty at the end of the week? Joining me now are my Freedom Fighters Fox Business Senior Stocks Editor and my colleague Elizabeth McDonald, EMAC, Democratic Analyst Carl Jeffers, and Reason Magazine Editor-in-Chief Matt Welsh. EMAC, to you first. Did anybody win on Friday night? Does anybody really have crowing rights here?
The Tea Party. But, you know, look, at this is D.C. dysfunction in high definition. It's political theatrics at its most neurotic. Since Nancy Pelosi gaveled in as House Speaker January 2007, and since she gaveled out, we've added the equivalent of the economies of Germany and Russia in terms of deficit spending, what we've added to our debt. And I got to tell you something. You know, it used to be that the two blades of the scissors to cut was the debt ceiling and, you know, a possible default. Well, right. Back in 2006, then-Senator Obama said he was against raising the debt ceiling because he didn't want to put all this debt on the backs of our future children.
I guess the world looks very different from the inside of the White House looking out, Carl, than it does from the outside looking in. Will the president claim that the Republicans blinked and he prevailed, or does he answer Paul Krugman by saying, okay, it was the best deal I could get. I know the left is not happy with me. What's he thinking about this morning?
Well, I think that, as Liz pointed out, she said that everybody lost. The reality is, Judge, that averting the shutdown last Friday night enabled all three parties, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the president, to go to the microphone and actually claim each side had some victory in terms of saying, well, it was our efforts that averted the shutdown. Looking forward, the president now tried to essentially polish the image that he was above the fray,
right,
that the Democrats and Republicans were fighting each other.
Right.
I, in fact, asked for adults to step in, and now I'm going to present my plan. And the president did a smart thing politically. He let Paul Ryan come out first and announce what the Republicans' plans for cutting was.
Got it.
And
right,
now
Matt,
the president can respond to that.
Matt Welsh, can anybody, except maybe the Tea Party folks who are going to vote against this plan, claim to be adults in this? Who in their right mind could say saving $38 billion in the face of a sea of red ink of $1 trillion is a meaningful savings at all?
Well, I think that, you know, everyone won except for the American people in this exchange, for sure. We added more than $50 billion in debt last week. So congratulations. You know, we trimmed that by $38 billion. It's clear that no one is up to the task right now in front of us, period.
Yeah.
And I think the American people know that. And so it's a question of in what way are they going to punish people? And no, the Tea Party didn't win. The Tea Party is furious right now, to the extent to which you can describe them with one voice,
right,
that we still aren't being serious in the way that people like Senator Rand Paul, much more than Paul Ryan, is being serious right now.
All right. Senator Rand Paul, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and a group of others have already said they're going to vote against raising the debt ceiling. If for some reason the House does not vote to raise the debt ceiling, then, of course, the vote in the Senate would be moot and the Treasury can't go out and borrow money. Would that be a bad thing, or would it force the president to run the government within the means provided by what the IRS,
you know,
and other agencies collect?
You know, probably that move could last. The Treasury's gimmicks could last them until August. At the latest, they would essentially raid the Social Security Fund by cashing out bonds there and the Civil Service Retirement Fund. But, you know, the broader issue is the president urges an adult conversation when he's ignoring the mounting red ink sitting in his own inbox,
right,
and ignores the deficit commission that he backed, and that was the Simpson-Bowles deficit commission. So can they do it? Can they, blow off the debt ceiling for now? Look, since 1962, we've raised the debt ceiling 66 times.
Every time
so
the president
every
wants
time
it raised, it goes up.
It goes up. That's
all right. Switching gears, House Speaker John Boehner spoke at a Republican fundraiser where he talked about the next big fight, and it is the debt ceiling.
And I can just tell you this. There will not be an increase in the debt limit without something really, really big attached to it.
After that battle comes the long-term budget war. Today we learned the president will propose once again raising taxes on those making $250,000 a year or more as a way to raise revenue. Even though we also know that if you took all the money from all the rich people in the country, that still wouldn't solve the deficit problem. Why take on this losing fight again? Carl, does the president really want to campaign for re-election on the back of raising taxes?
Well, he certainly wants to campaign on the back of equalizing the sacrifices. And if you're going to, in fact, cut, as the Republicans are suggesting, all of these programs from the poor, working class, from Head Start all the way down to computers and everything else, then clearly the president can make a political argument that I will not let that happen unless we all share in the sacrifice. And we just found out today, Judge, that CEOs and top executives, their incomes, they got a 12 to 14% increase this past year. When most working Americans were lucky if they were holding on to a job, that gives the president some background.
You know, Matt.
And Judge, that, you know.
I love Carl, but he sounds as though just because these people are making a lot of money, they're fair game and the government can take it from them. Unless they put the money. Hang on, Carl.
Okay.
Unless they put the money in a shoebox, whatever they do with that money is going to generate good things for the economy, except if it's paid in taxes, because then the government consumes it.
It's an accurate representation of where the middle of the Democratic Party is right now. They think that we have a revenue problem and not a spending problem, and they think that the solution to our economic problems is more government spending and more government intervention. It is the exact opposite of the approach taken by people, especially on the Tea Party right, much more than the organized Republican right in Washington. They believe, and I think that they're right, that we have a spending problem, that we have increased spending to the point now where our deficit is the size of the federal budget was back in 1996. Completely out of control.
What will Wall Street do if the president succeeds? I don't know how he could ever get through the House. The Republican-controlled House, if he succeeded in raising taxes on people who earn individuals more than 200,
we did see, you know, the bond market sort of lock up when there's been talk about tax hikes, and we saw the equity market sort of freeze for a moment in time. The equity markets are rising for other reasons besides what Washington, D.C. does. But, you know, I got to tell you something. The president's reelection depends on defending this outsized gargantuan deficit spending that this Congress and the administration has enacted. But the problem is unemployment is still about as high as when Jimmy Carter defeated Gerald Ford in 1976. So can he run on that alone? I mean, can he be reelected? That's the end game for the president right now. This spending, he's trying to buy unemployment rates going down, and I don't think it's going to work.
How could the same president keep the Bush era tax rates in place and yet want to raise them just
a
year later?
He's campaigned being the anti-Bush on, you know, Guantanamo and taxes hikes.
Carl Jeffers, Matt Welsh, E-Mac, thanks for joining us.